All right, we are live. What's going on, Facebook? How are you? This is our Monday live Q&A session. Super excited to get into this. We're also going to start, if you didn't already know, we're dropping these as bonus podcast episodes once we get going. I already see Bruce joined us. He's one of our favorite questionnaires, as well as Carissa. Congratulations, guys. All right, let's get into it. So, Jeremy, what do we have today?
So, first question is a sales question from Carissa Espinoza, our NLP Mastery Lifetime student. How's it going, Carissa? So Carissa asks, when it comes to an enrollment conversation and you can see that they aren't getting to the root to their objection, how can I get to the root of their objection and address it to get them to say yes or a no?
Ooh, so good question. All right, so Carissa, we're talking about objections. I guess the first thing I want to say is traditionally when you're having a sales conversation, a lot of people think of objections as like the thing to overcome. Right? So the first thing I want to say is you don't need to overcome objections. Objections mean one of two things usually. Number one, they're either not really objections and they're reasons people are trying to say they're not really in and they don't really want to do it. The other option is objections are real and they're valid and they say, hey, I really want to do your program, but I don't know what to do about my kids and I don't have a babysitter. I don't know what to do. So here's what you can do to test. So let's just say we're having a sales conversation and if you've done your job right, you've found out what they need. Well, first you've had good rapport. We're not going to teach the whole sales process now, but the idea is you have great rapport with someone. You find out what they genuinely need and want and what their desires are. You link that to something that you have, a product or service that you can genuinely help them with. And as long as that happens, you have a real simple integrity-based sale. Right? That's what should be happening all across the planet. Oh, you need something? Oh, I have something? Let me explain to you how the thing I have can help you with the thing you need. Once you've done that, then you should jump to, okay, wonderful. So, you know, here's how the pricing works. Here's a special thing for you. And do you have any other questions before we move forward? If somebody says, yeah, I would love to do it, but just bleh, and they give you their objection, the first thing I'll ask is I just kind of want to ask something like, and don't take this wrong. This might sound like one of those harsh, pressure sales things, but I promise you it's not. I will ask something to the effect of, okay, cool. Well, let's talk about that. Is that the main thing or the main challenge you have or the main question? Like, as long as that works out, are you in? Do you want to do this with me? And I don't ask that to try to like twist their arm, you know, to buy or whatever, like a vacuum cleaner salesman. I do that to gauge whether it's a genuine concern or whether it's really a reason that they didn't want to go with me, but they don't know how to say no, because the truth is a lot of people today don't know how to say yes and no to things. So they'll come up with objections to go away and think about something, even though they don't really want to do it. So again, don't try to answer the objections and get people over those things. Just find out if they're genuine or not. So if I said, what do you think about that? Are you ready to do that if this works out? And they say, yeah, absolutely. This is exciting. I just have this genuine concern. Then it's probably a genuine concern. And what you have to do at that point is then answer it. And you just talk about it. And you say, you know, so I'll do things like, you know, at Evolution, we sell trainings, right? So a lot of live trainings. So one of the most common objections is going to be someone says, oh, I don't know if I can take that much time. Or they'll say something like, I don't know if I can make the one in November. Can I sign up later once I know? And I'll casually say, that's awesome. That's not a problem at all. Can I ask you a question though? As long as the time works out, is this something you really want to do? Or are you still unsure? In fact, I won't even box them in. I'll just say, do you want to do it? Or are you unsure? And then if they say, no, I really want to do it. I just don't know if I can get the time off yet. Then I'll go, great. Well, here's the cool thing. You can sign up for the course. And if you find out you can't make this time, no problem. We can have you go to the one in April. If you can't make April, we can go to the next one. And in the meantime, you can start with all the coaching and the other bonuses and things. And my point is, Chris, if that's a genuine concern that someone has, once you answer it with a viable answer, then they should feel fine to move forward. But here's what to watch for. Last thing, and then we'll move to the next question. What you got to watch for is if you answer their objection, like I just did, I said you can still sign up and get the main heart of the program. And then if you can't make the one next month, you can always come to the one 4 months later. That's not a big deal. We can move your timing around. If they go, okay, yeah, that actually makes sense. But, you know, I have another problem. What I don't know what to do about my babysitter and my kids. And you know, I mean, they're only 31 years old and 29. I can't leave them alone in the basement anymore. What should I do? Right? That was a joke. So what do? You go, well, same thing. You can have the choice of either answering that objection or moving to the next piece, right? And coming back and saying, well, is this really an objection? So here's what I'm thinking in my mind, right? If they come up with one objection, I want to answer it. If they have a second one, I'll try to answer that too. And I'll say, oh my gosh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of people come with, they have kids, and how old are your kids? Oh, wonderful. If they're a little bit older, I say, you know, a lot of people come with their kids and they'll bring a family member, stay in the hotel. Or if the kids are older, like 12, 13 even, you know, they could actually attend if you want to, and I'll give them a bonus ticket. And what's neat is when somebody genuinely thought, I want to do your program, but I don't know what to do about my kids, and I offer them solutions like bring your adolescent or your teens with them, I'll give them a free ticket. Because by the way, if you guys don't know that, I always do that. And if you have kids under 18 and you're going through a program, I automatically will extend a kid's ticket to come and sit and go through the course with you. It's something I decided to do years ago, and I ain't gonna change it no matter how much I should, I guess, financially or something. I just think it's a great idea for families to do stuff together. So, and I say, if it's a young kid, you know, maybe you have time to find a babysitter, or people bring, you know, a mother-in-law and they stay in the hotel or whatever. That should answer it for the most part. And at that point, if they say, great, that, oh my gosh, yeah, great idea, I didn't think of that, that's so great. Okay, they should be excited and sign up, unless it wasn't a genuine concern in the first place. It was a thing. It was one of many reasons why they don't want to go through and do the training, right? So if that's the case, they're going to come up with another objection. So by the time they come up with two or three objections, at this point, don't try to push. Don't try to overwhelm them. Don't try to pressure them, twist their arm and all that. Just say something like this. You know, I could answer that right now too, but I feel like there's quite a few reasons why you're not sure or not ready to go through and do this. Can I kind of back up for a second? Do you really want to do this program? Do you feel solid about it, except for these challenges, or are you still kind of undecided? And you know what's beautiful is if, as a salesperson, we do that, it takes the pressure off of external pressure, right? They don't feel like you're twisting their arm to sign up. Now they're like, oh my gosh, you're my friend. You're actually asking me if I'm still undecided, and if I am, it's okay. Let's talk about it. You'll be surprised on what happens when the pressure gets relieved. And you go, I'm not trying to convince you. If you're not ready to do it, don't do it. But if you do think this is something for you, let's talk about it and let's answer questions. So I hope that helps a little bit. That's kind of my take on objections, is sometimes objections are really accurately objections that are challenges or questions they have. If they are, you'll know it, because once you answer it, they should be able to move forward. And if you answer it and they come up with another one or another one or another one, at that point, they're just coming up with reasons not to say yes or no right now. And I'm the person who I'm fine to say, listen, it's okay if you just tell me no. I'd much rather you say no, you don't want to, than yes, you do, but maybe let's follow up. I don't think it's that big of a deal. So I hope that helps a little bit. That's kind of my approach towards objections. All right. We got time for a couple more. What else we got?
Awesome. Question number two, topic of entrepreneurship, by Nate Whalen. Nate asks, what was the heartbeat behind starting your own company?
Nate Whalen, you're asking that question? Nice. Good job. All right. Hopefully you're still on, Nate. I saw you joined. We'll see if you're still listening. So the heartbeat behind start my own business. Let me answer it this way. For me, it was really simple. I made a lot of money in real estate. Some of you have heard the story before, and I felt a lot really empty at the end. And I thought, I'm at the top of the hill, so to speak, for being 25 years old, and is this all there is? And I wanted to do more. I wanted to find something to give back. And the most obvious thing I could find after going to Tony Robbins seminars and doing a lot of personal development was I was going to be a life coach, and I'm going to do some kind of a live seminar, a live workshop from stage, and I'm going to help transform people's lives. For me, that was my heartbeat. I guess the better way to answer that question, though, is what's the heartbeat for you behind you starting your business? This kind of speaks into what I'm working on. I'm working on a new book right now called The Purpose-Driven Entrepreneur, talking about the 7 entrepreneurial purpose drives, the drives behind every entrepreneurial movement. I found there were 7 of them, and it's fun. I'm going through right now and finishing the research on it and getting the book, kind of the chapters and everything together for this. It should be a really big hit and really interesting. But the thing I'm finding from it, the most important part, is as an entrepreneur, you got to decide from the very beginning, what's the true heart of the purpose behind this move? Why am I doing this? Is it to show someone that I'm good enough? You're welcome, Carissa. Is it to show someone I'm good enough? Is it because I want to make an impact in the world? Is it so I can have the good life with me and my family? Is it because I want to create something beautiful and express my art? Is it because there's someone disenfranchised that needs help and I want to be the advocate for them? You know, like, what's the purpose behind you starting an entrepreneur drive? If you start honestly knowing what that is, you'll go a long way. The thing you want to avoid is essentially deceiving yourself into believing it's for one thing but being another. You know, saying, I see people today in the coaching space, I want to do this for the starving children, and then really every day they're focused on what sales did I make so I can eat. So the truth is, they started a business because they're wanting to survive better and have a better quality of life, but they're talking to themselves and others as if it's a charity thing. And I'm not saying, like, you know what I mean? You can't have both. Obviously, a for-profit business, you should be able to eat and all that. But the difference is, if you really believe the heartbeat of starting it, the real, if you boiled it all down to only one purpose, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with having the purpose of a business be to have the good life for yourself and your family. That's why a lot of businesses started, and that's completely okay. I think in 2017, one of the things, I don't know if you find this or not, but I find everything has to be a social experiment now and a social entrepreneurism movement. And if everything has to be that, like, where is there space for someone who wants to own a tire store because they want to own their own tire store because people need tires, you know? And that person's not feeding the starving children, and they're not trying to make an impact to shift the message of consciousness for the Saturn return or what, you know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal? So I think it's okay to do whatever you're going to do. Just try to be honest with yourself as to really why you're starting it. So hope that helps, Nate. Hope that helps everyone else. All right, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left, so I'll try to rapid fire this last one.
Awesome. Question number 3 from
all right.
By anything that causes a person to unconsciously do a certain behavior or go into a certain state from an external stimulus.
Okay, so we're a trigger, external stimulus, okay.
Correct. Whereas an anchor is an unconscious, or correction, is a conscious effort to build a button into our neurology.
Okay, so Bruce he's an NLP mastery grad, right? Or
he's going to be attending.
You're going to be attending next month. Okay, so Bruce, this is perfect to ask this now before you come to the class. What he's talking about is anchors. An NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, we'd have anchors. Let me explain it this way, Bruce, and for everyone. An anchor is a conditioned response to an external stimulus. So it's like when you drive in the car and you hear a song that takes you back to when you're breaking up or falling in love, you smell perfume and it takes you back to sitting with your grandma when you were a kid, right? Something like that. So the idea is, the anchor is the overarching premise, right? The anchor is the reaction and the stimulus all together. That's what we call the anchor, okay? The trigger specifically is the stimulus. So I would say I get triggered by, my anchor gets triggered by that perfume. My anchor gets triggered by the song on the radio. I'll tell you this right now. I hear Tim McGraw, "Don't Take the Girl." Man, I am in tears. Like, I can feel myself starting to cry. It's a sweet song. But I remember it. I remember living in Corona Del Mar, and I'm my heart's broken. I'm driving down Bayside Street. I remember that song came on. And every time I hear it, I remember that exact moment when I just, like, felt so strongly. And it was lit weird, but I was just crying in my car. And I was like, "Don't take the girl. That's so sad," you know? And now if I hear that, you know, 20 years later, not 20, but 15, 18 years later, I can, I instantly go back to the memory, right? So the trigger is the stimulus. Those are interchangeable words. The anchor is the overall process of a trigger or a stimulus that triggers an emotional memory or an emotional reaction, right? So that's what an anchor is. If you guys have any questions on anchoring, or if you don't know anything about anchoring and you're not in our NLP course and you want to know about that, just put a question below right now. Tell me more about it. How does it work? Because you can set them up on purpose for yourself. You can recognize ones that have already been set up automatically that are negative or positive. If you find ones that you've had, you can collapse negative ones to get rid of them. There's so much to anchoring, but I hope that helps to clarify stimulus versus the anchor itself as the overall process. All right, Bruce, that's it for you. Jeremy, are we clear?
We are clear.
All right, buddy. So that's bonus podcast episode, Facebook Live in the bag. Love you guys. I'll see you next Monday, 3 o'clock.